Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Rod Chalk inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
All right. Well, grab your Bibles, smack somebody next to you. That was a joke. You're allowed to laugh. Okay, some of you are doing it. Whoops. Okay, hang on a second. Okay, that is not going to work. I got the little baby stool somehow. So, okay, that's all right. Well, I just want to begin. I'm going to try to read this, and I'll just better read it word for word in there. It says, to our loving Ascent family, thank you so much for all your love and support. As we said goodbye to my mom, otherwise known as Betty, Nanny, she loved you all so much and would have been in tears seeing how you all loved on our family. With great appreciation, Pastor Rod and Karen, Dad, all the Chalk kids and grandkids, Paul and Gail and Jason, and that were her other two kids and families, and all of their families as well. We just want to say thank you because I tell you, we felt loved. I don't know if you've ever been through anything like this, but in the moment of all of it, and when it happens suddenly like that, really, life is a blur for a few days. And it was such a blessing to be able to have friends and family to help out and to bring meals and to, you know, one of the most healing things was, and what had happened is some of you, I still don't know who did it. I don't need to know who did it. But I'm grateful that you did it. And that was, is that after the funeral, there was, we were just looking for something like sandwiches or something upstairs because we had a bunch of family that came from out of town and whatnot, just to sit and talk. And we hadn't really, you know, in the midst of that, you don't really get together. And so somehow a couple of sandwiches and a drink turned into a wonderful meal. And we're just so very grateful to be able to not have to worry about that, right? In the middle of all of that. And so we're grateful, those of you that gave and those of you that have helped. And it's still a journey and we're walking it through, right, Dad? We are walking it through every day and we will get there and we are grateful for all your help. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab your Bibles with me and I want you to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to get you to hold it into chapter 4. Just put your thumb in there. But we're gonna float around a bunch today. If you know me by now, you know I just love. I was trained at Bible school, so when I prepare a sermon, I really love it when the Lord lets me do 1, 2, 3 with a few. You know, just organized, and this just wonderful. I'm so grateful. So that didn't happen today. So hold on, I'm going to try to work through all of this as I have, but I've been sitting there for a while, and this was happening before my mom had passed away, but I began to say, Lord, I feel like something is missing, something's up in my life right now, and I began to ask the question, so God, what's up? What do I need to look at? What's going on? And in those moments, it's really, really important to not be focused on digging too much, if you understand what I'm saying. Because if you can dig, we know the president, back in early days, I forget which even president it was, but he had something of a gunshot wound. This was way, way, way back. And he didn't die of the gunshot wound. He died of them digging around and trying to find the bullet. And that's actually how he died. And so in the midst of this, I'm not trying to dig around in my life so much that I can't even function. But I'm looking to say, Lord, what have I forgotten? And so here you go. Here are 6 things that I forgot I learned. So if you can do me this favor today, and this would be such a great honor, if you could borrow some paper, borrow a pen, get your phone out to take some notes, and I'll have 6 things that I want to give you today, and I'd love for you to be able to jot them down and to be able basically in that saying, oh, you know what, maybe this is for me as well, and maybe, no, that one is not really, I'm good with that one, but maybe this is for me as well. And so it gives you an opportunity, even after we're done today and tomorrow, to just begin to think on these things. But here are a few things I forgot I learned. Now, we could spend a whole lot of time talking about just that title, right? How that doesn't make any sense at all. But okay, it's good. So number one, it's more important whose you are than who you are. Now, let me say that to you again so you can write it down. It's more important whose you are than who you are. Say it one more time just so we can write it down. It's more important whose you are than who you are. Now, I am not a English major, for so those of you that I may have missed a whom and a ha and a who, sorry, it's just the way it comes out, okay? And but here's the idea in this. The Lord has been talking to me again and getting me to revisit identity. And identity comes from sonship and not from accomplishment. Now look at me just for a second. Try to stay focused with me today. I know I'm sitting. Normally I'm running around and jumping and all these things today, but I felt to sit so I could get these notes through to us. But here's the deal. Identity is one of the most important things that you need to settle. I didn't say spend 25 years trying to figure out. I say settle. Identity comes from sonship. And when I say sonship, we're not talking about male and female. We're talking to be a child of God. This is where I get my identity. Not whether I did this well or did this well, or that I've done my devotions every single day. You know what you feel like? And maybe some of you go, oh, this happened to you. Yes, this happens to me. You realize you went 3 days without doing your devotions. Now, all of you that looked at me going, Pastor Rod... Okay, in there. If you've ever had a season where you have to fix something in your house or something's going on and you sit there, and I'm not talking about you didn't talk to Jesus today, but you have a regular thing that you regularly do, and all of a sudden you're going, I haven't done that for 2 days. You know, and you sit, and then if you're not careful, you go down this journey of real of going, how bad you are, how terrible you are, this is awful, this is terrible. I want you to understand that your identity is not wrapped up in your devotional life, but it comes to you through your devotional life. Okay, you hear me? It's not wrapped up whether you've done your devotional life, but it comes to you. We learn, we walk, we strengthen in our devotional life. I'm telling you, one of the things that for me, when it says it's more important to know whose you are, in other words, I belong to God. It's not about, when I first came here, Pastor Gary did something to me that absolutely drove me crazy. In fact, I wondered if I was in the right place at the time. And this is what she said to me. She said, Pastor Rod, I want you to sit in your chair and I want you to do nothing for a few weeks at all. You might as well have pinned me in a corner. And like, it was so difficult for me. She goes, I just want you to sit, take it in, relax. We love you being here. And then she said this, it's your presence we're looking for, not what you can do for us. Come on. And you see, it's that fact of that we get back to that way with Jesus. Lord, it's your presence that we're longing for. It's not what you can do for me, but it's your presence, just you being here with us that I long for. And this comes in identity. You see, insecurity kills. I want you to hear my heart when I say this. Parents, we teach our children to be secure or insecure by how we act and not how we talk. I'll say it again. We teach our children to be secure or insecure, not by how we talk only, maybe a better way to say that, but how we act. It's a matter of going... We are teaching. I realize so often that some of the insecurities that I see in my own kids' lives that happen to all be here, I can see that guess where they got that from. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said, could you have not got this? Could you have not got that? You see how I can do it? Like I'm doing, could you not have got a little piece of that? We always joke with my mom saying, could you not have transferred the love for reading to us? As you heard on the funeral, mom could read a book this thick in a day. And I've been, you are faking it. There's no way, because I can't get past the first chapter in a day. you know, in this, but it was something, and you look, could you not have given that to us? But I realized that in the midst of this, you see, 1 Corinthians 6, and we're going to go through 1st, 2nd Corinthians in different places. Keep it in 2nd Corinthians 4, but just as a different verse here. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20, you are not your own, and you were bought with a price. You see, it's so very, very important to realize that I belong to him my whole life. My Sunday mornings don't just belong to him. You hear my heart in this? In my whole life, every moment of every day, every second belongs to him, and I live for him. And it's not a matter of I don't get to do anything fun. Are you kidding me? The things that I have done, the places that I have been in Taiwan, in a place where I couldn't speak a lick of English with two kids and their parents. Missionary drops me off. Now, some of you be like, okay, are we talking about fun or terror? But for me, it was fun just be dropped off. They couldn't speak English. I couldn't speak English. Well, I could speak English, but I wasn't sure. If I started speaking Newfoundlandese, Dad, we weren't really sure what was going on. But listen, they would sit there and they're offering me all of these things. I've eaten shrimp that had heads on them. When I went, shrimps weren't, they didn't have heads on them. I'm not even sure if I knew shrimps had heads on them. Okay, because you get the little roll, you know what I'm talking about, right? But these are big old things. The adventures that I've been on, I've been in the privilege of going to Haiti to stand before 100 pastors and their wives and those that are from their church and begin to minister to them in Haiti. Come on. This is a journey. This is just an amazing life that we get to live with him. Okay, I need to just, that's the last part about identity. I had this happen to me, and the Lord said, you've got to remember this because you're not doing well in this area. So I went, okay, fine. Let's work it out. Let's get it out. Now, so if you were to hear a lie in the beginning when you were walking with the Lord, and even after you've been with the Lord for a long time, and we learned what it was to recognize the lies of the enemy, when you first you heard that lie, you'd be like, whoa, where did that come from? Right? You'd be freaking out going, okay, hang on a second. That can't, where did that come from? That can't be right. And then if you begin to believe that lie a little bit, what happens is the next time that lie goes through, you might sit there and feel like, huh? Yeah. Might even cause you to feel a little depression. Might even cause you to feel a little bit of, you know what I'm talking about? Just that. But here's when you know you're in trouble, is when you hear the lie and you immediately agree and don't even realize that the agreement has come out of your mouth. So I heard a lie and all of a sudden I went, yeah, that's right. I'm not talking about thinking it. I'm talking about came out of my mouth. And I realized at that moment going, okay, something shifted. Now, listen, some of you, we're talking about, we're walking through this. We're honesty, right? We're moving forward in this. But it was that realization in that moment saying, God, something has slipped. Something has begun to slip in my identity because I just agreed with what the devil was trying to whisper into my ear. Come on now, are you with me? And that is something where you realize that my identity has been shifting just a little bit. Okay, number two, moving on here. Number two says this, declarations are essential in the hard times, but must be practiced in the good times. Declarations are essential in the hard times, but must be practiced in the good times. Now, I really didn't know what to say about in the sense of trying to figure out between good times and bad times, but it's like this. In other words, if you think you're going to get in a rough season of your life and struggle all of a sudden, well, you know what? Where's my declaration book? What are my declarations? Just begin to sound out these declarations, because here's what declarations do. Declarations go and they grind against self-pity. Hear me. Declarations grind against self-pity. In other words, they don't let you stay there. Because if we go, now you're with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, how we know, so for example, how I know that I have had slipped into self-pity was this. It says here, it says, we are hard-pressed. Okay, let me tell you about hard-pressed. Come on now, you know what I'm saying? As soon as you read this, you're thinking, yeah, I know what hard-pressed is. And you're focused on all the things that have been difficult. and you don't remember, what does the rest of that verse say? On every side, yet not crushed. And when we are having a struggle and when we're in a difficult season, that grinds on our self-pity. That grinds on the fact that we are complaining. That grinds on all of these things because we have to jump out of it and begin to declare what God's saying, not just to begin to declare what's going on. Now listen, I'm not telling you that I'm not talking at all about just hiding the fact that we're going through something. That's garbage. But listen, if we're so focused on it that we can't get to the yet not crushed, or we are perplexed, I have spent the last 6 months being perplexed. Things have happened that don't make any sense over and over again. But here's what it is. The declaration needed to be practiced in the good times so that when those things happen, I would then say perplexed, but not in despair. It becomes like a shield to me in those moments. And sometimes I got to sit there and take the shield and just smack that thing a little bit. But in those moments, if I haven't practiced them, and somebody comes along and says, yes, perplexed, but now you're not in despair. And they begin to rhyme these things off, or they begin to give you a declaration. If you've not been practicing them, if you've not been in that, if that's not part of your regular sense of your daily life, that's irritating. Come on now, only one person got it, I guess. That's irritating. Because you're like, no, but if you have been in them, if you've been practicing, I'm not telling you it's still not going to be irritating to your flesh, because it's going to be. But in those moments, my flesh need to be told what to do. Anybody else what I'm talking about? In difficult seasons, when things aren't going well, I've got to tell my flesh what to feel. And you're saying, come on now, Pastor, I'm not allowed to feel something. I didn't say you weren't allowed to feel something. When I feel frustrated, I then ask myself, what am I frustrated about? Get to the, okay, so flesh, let's move forward in this. Rod, in other words, let's move, let's forgive quickly. Let's forgive quickly. Let's move into the next. Because for me, declarations are a key in the kingdom. And what we often do is if we're going to wait until it's difficult times to practice them, it's going to be very, very difficult. So if you are in a difficult time, doesn't mean we're not using them, doesn't mean we're not, but we have to push and begin to do them. I don't feel like doing, okay, when all this was going on with me, and I'm not talking about my mom, I'm talking about a bunch of other things in the last 6 months. I got out my declaration book. I threw it across the room. I'm surprised Jay didn't come in the office and go, what was that that I'd seen, you know, crash against the wall? Because when they're telling me, and I'm reading these declarations, and it's all scripture, and they want me to declare this, but this isn't happening right now. This is the opposite of what's happening. And I could feel myself going, and all this, you know, in my brain was coming out and being revealed, and I don't want to give up my madness. I don't want to give up my ticked offness. I deserve to be ticked off just for a little bit longer. Do you know what's happened to me? And all of it. And I'm just like, I am talking to the Lord. Of course he knows what's happened to me. But in those moments, you see the declaration comes in. And what it does is it shifts our soul. It begins. Sometimes it's radical. Sometimes it's difficult. And most of the time it's hard. But then when we go and do this, I didn't say all of a sudden you're like, whoo, that felt so much better. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm saying the third and fourth and fifth time, what you do is you stand up and you become defiant with it. You say, I don't even feel this. I don't even understand this. I don't even know if I believe this. But this is scripture right here. And I'm going to get up and I am going to defiantly declare it in the face of the circumstances that are happening. Come on, are you with me? And this is this raising up of these people. So the third thing is this, and I got to go here, but this that I had forgotten that I learned. Now, I had a great example of this because, and he would not want me to say anything, but Pastor Claude's right here, so I won't say anything about it or use his name going forward, okay, after this moment, okay, right, okay. Highly favored doesn't mean sealed off from the hardships of life. See, if we're not careful sometimes, we can get the fact of, if I'm hardly favored, why is this happening? If I'm hardly favored, yeah. That's what it feels like sometimes. I'm hardly favored. You may be highly favored, but I'm hardly favored. That's not the truth. We are highly favored. But in those moments, we have the sense of, then why are these things happen? But if you look truly, go through what highly favored, and if you actually look at this, let's look at two views of Mary, two things Mary saw. So if you go over to Luke chapter 1, verse 28, you'll see angel Gabriel shows up to Mary and tells her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." She's like, "What in the world can this mean?" So she then in the entire life has had an angel. I haven't had an angel show up in my room and say, "You're highly favored," yet. That'd be cool. But not yet, but she had an angel, literally, not in a dream like her husband, but literally show up in her room and say she's highly favored. Now look at this next scene that I'm going to show you. Mary in John chapter 19, verse 25 and to 27, it says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, highly favored." See, it's this in this process of learning what highly favored means. To me, it means graced. It's not talking about grace. It's a different word than grace. But it means to be graced to endure, to push past, and to succeed in the face of hardship. It doesn't mean to succeed without any hardship. That, if we believe that, if we see that happening, then what happens is when hardship comes, we then either have to believe one of two things, that what I heard was wrong, or I'm not highly favored. And Pastor Claude has taught us all that we are all favored, right? You know, that was the joke when I first came here, right? And he would start it off, and then I'd know what he was going to say, and I'd be like, he says the same thing over and over again. And I hear the Holy Spirit saying, "Yeah, because that takes you a long time to get it. That's why." Okay. You know, but that's the truth, right? We just say it over and over again, that I'm his favored one. But being highly favored means I can call on his grace. That in those moments, in those difficulties, in those things that are difficult and hard, that I am graced to endure. So that it says highly favored doesn't mean sealed off from the hardships of life. That was number three. And you might also write down, it means to be graced to endure, push past, and succeed in the face of hardship. And it means so many more things, but those ones are there. Number four, and I'll just give you this quickly, and we'll go on to five and six here. Number four is this: there is no parking in a loading and unloading zone. Isn't that sound spiritual? You know that I've preached that sermon before here with the no parking zone. And the Lord was reminding me again and saying, "Rod, you've parked in the loading and unloading zone. In fact, you've parked in your pain when you need to unload the past and look forward to the future." And then these words: "There is no room for my next when you are consumed with the devil's now." There is no room for my next, in other words, God's next, when we are consumed with the devil's now. I recently got a chance to go pick up my brother at the airport. And when you're a Canadian and you're going over to the Detroit side, what do? When we go over, we push this little button, airplane mode, so that we don't get charged when we go over. However, if you have you're blessed with a plan that you can go over and use it, terrific. I didn't have one of those plans. And I go over and I try not to turn on the thing as best as I can. And the airport lies because they say that there's Wi-Fi there. I can never get it. And you're sitting there and you're at the pickup area, the arrival area, and you're waiting and you're waiting. And I went ahead of time. I went over to this McDonald's over on the other side and I got Wi-Fi, and my brother have Wi-Fi on the plane. Isn't that freaky? He's like texting me halfway through his flight. And I'm like, this is crazy and wild. You know, so he's like, I'm landed. I'll be out there soon. So I'm like, take off, and I go over, you know, doing everything right. And I get there and I'm waiting. And these people, you're not allowed to park. Did you know that? Many of you do. But there are people there. I did as well. But there are people there, and their whole job is to go back and forth to those. There are people that actually park their car to, you know what I'm talking about? Where there's the lane that gets really, really close to inside, that's the golden lane, right? You know, in there. Then the next lane that I have to move around with. Well, there's a third lane that shows up sometime. This guy comes by and he parks his car and leaves it and goes inside. And I'm like, this is going to be fun. Let's see what happens. Because I'm waiting for my brother. He ain't showing up yet. Okay, I don't know what's going on. And sure enough, the guy's looking for, figure out who he is. Now, he fought for his sake. He got back in time before the tow truck could come, blah, 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 blah. But it's not a happy thing for him, I'm sure. But the point is this. What's that for? That's for loading and unloading passengers, right? And for unloading and loading and unloading baggage. And so for me, it was a realization that Lord began to speak to me again about the fact that it's time to unload some of your baggage. But he said this to me, he said, don't drive around. Okay, those of you that know the airport, you know when you pick up somebody, if you have to move because somebody told you to go, because you're trying to wait to pick up somebody, you can do what? You can do the loop. Right? You drive all the way back and then you just slowly go along looking, seeing if you can find a spot. And if you can't find, you go do the loop again and come back and try to find a spot. Well, the Lord's like, you need to stop doing the loop, Rod. You unpacked these bags, got rid of the situation in your heart. And then just before you were to leave to go on, for some reason, you took all the bags and packed them back into your car and then went on. And I'm thinking, when did I do that? And in this journey, the Lord begins to show me, and it brings healing and restoration, because then you get those baggage out, leave them there, and begin to move on. Okay, lots more to say there, but number five is this. Okay, you all love me, right? Okay, good. So here we go. It doesn't really matter. Okay. Number five is this. If you are running out of strength, you are probably running on the wrong fuel. Zechariah 4:6 says this, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Now listen, I've been through difficult times. I'm not talking about the fact that you're just a little tired. You understand my heart in that, right? We go through things, we get tired, there's things that happen. But I'm talking about if you find yourself, as it says here, running out of strength, it is a possibility that you're running on the wrong fuel, that you're trying to fill your life so much with these other things. Do you know that there are, on my TV, there are hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands and thousands and thousands of shows from all these apps. And there's nothing to watch most of the time. But you know that you can spend 6 hours and get up from the couch and went, it's what time? Because this really cool show that you found that's actually clean and nothing necessarily wrong with it, and you watch the whole thing, and then one comes on, and mine doesn't anyways, doesn't ask you, do you want to stop, Rod? Or do you want to continue? This little thing just comes up, whoop, whoop, going to the next one. Here we go. And it starts again. And if you're not careful, when we're in seasons of difficulty or when we feel run down or run out, that becomes the strength we go to. Both hands are up, guilty as charged in that. But it has to be something where, here's this, to tap into the Spirit of God again, to every day begin to pray in the Spirit, to every day be filled up with a rhema word. Do you know that there's a difference between reading your Bible and having a rhema word experience in your Bible? And a rhema word just simply means something that went, wow. That's what it means. It jumped right out at you. And it can be something you read 100 times. It could be one word in that verse and it just, bam, comes out at you. And we've got to return again to that lifestyle of going, I am going to dig and hunt until I find the rhema word. I'm not going to be stressed out about it, but I'm going to be continually going, Lord, there is a nugget in the midst of this that you want me to chew on all day as my strength. Number six, just closing with this one here. Number six is this, that when we lose purpose, we can quickly begin to lose hope. And we do as 2 Corinthians 4 and 1 says, that we lose heart. So number 6 is this. When we lose purpose, we quickly begin to lose hope or lose heart. 2 Corinthians 4 and 1 says this, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. It's crazy if you've ever want to know what the Apostle Paul went through. If you're having a bad day, look up. Here's a great scripture for if you're having a bad day. Write it down. It's good. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 25. I'm just going to read 25, just 25 section. Paul says this, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Okay, can't check that one. Was once stoned. And I'm not talking about the other kind. We're talking about the, you know, throwing rocks at you, okay, in there. He's stoned in this. I mean, they thought he was dead. And they pick him back up, and he gets back up. Actually, let's go back to doing what we're doing. He says, 3 times I was shipwrecked. I remembered once, but it's like 3 times I was shipwrecked. And I spent a night and a day adrift in the sea. I mean, this man went through all kinds of stuff. And his heart says, he says that we did not lose heart in that, because he says, we do not lose heart. We're going through all these things, but in this, we do not lose heart. This is what one of the commentaries says, is a life undirected or without purpose has the potential to drift into an aimless, self-seeking, purposeless existence. It's never on purpose. Nobody ever charts out, I want to become aimless. It's like there's no line over the, or if you'd like to become aimless today, just go through this door. We don't have that. We all of a sudden go, how did I get here? Come on, you know what I'm talking about? You're sitting there and going, how did I get here? And it's a matter of them beginning to say, well, it's not a matter of how I got here, but it's now the journey, Lord, back to my connection and my relationship with him. So I'll give you the conclusion, give you all 6 of them here really quickly. Number 1, it's more important whose you are than who you are. It's about identity. Get your identity worked out, because we don't want to pass on a negative identity to our kids and those that are around us. Number 2, declarations must be practiced in the good seasons to be effective in the rough seasons. I know I changed that just a little bit, but here's this thing I forgot to tell you, okay, about the fact of declarations and about what they do. They don't let you stay hopeless. They're annoying like that. Okay, that was funny. Laugh. Okay, so listen, they don't let you stay hopeless, because I wrote this down. Hope doesn't let you mope. That's going to be my new slogan, Pastor Jay. Just a little, you know, Ascent Church, hope doesn't let you mope. You know, because in those moments, when we begin to read scripture and begin to fall in love with him again, we move beyond that. Highly favored doesn't mean sealed off from the hardships of life. It means grace to endure, push past, succeed in the face of hardship. Number 4, there is no parking in a loading and unloading zone. There is no room for God's next when we are consumed with the devil's now. And number 5, it says, is if you are running out of strength, you are probably running on the wrong fuel. Number 6, when we lose purpose, we quickly lose hope. So here's what we do. In the midst of all, you say, Pastor, oh, that was a great sermon. What was that? What was I supposed to take home with that? Well, here it is. I'm on a new journey. You want to come? Say it again. That didn't really go over. I'm on a new journey. Do you want to come? Do you want to come? Do you want to get so filled with the presence of God? So filled with his Holy Spirit again? So much so that these things that I forgot, I remember daily with him. I would encourage you with this, if you're willing, can I encourage you, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you speak in other tongues, do it every single day. Every day. And you're saying, well, Pastor Rob, what is every single day, begin. And if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and you'd like us to pray for you, we'd love to do that. It's something as well, though, I would say this, and this is what I think, though, that one of the things, if you'd stand with me, is practicing every day the peace of God, practicing every day being drenched in his presence, practicing every day the fact of, Lord, I'm going to stay here till I know you better. You say, well, Pastor Rod, you don't know, I got to get up, I got to do this job, I got to do that job. Man alive, my life has been so fast in the last little while. But if I want to get closer, it's going to cost me. Salvation doesn't cost me anything. It cost him everything. But if I want to get closer, it's going to cost me. And this journey is a good journey because at the end of this journey comes what Pastor Gary was talking to us about even today, not just happening in this house of miracles, but seeing him in your lives and in everywhere you go. My mom couldn't walk into a store without saying hello to somebody. But if you got her chair, because that's what she felt like, she didn't get your chair in whether it was the beauty salon or whatever, but if you got her chair, you were going to hear about how wonderful Jesus is today. She wasn't going to shove anything down your throat. It wasn't going to call you a sinner. It wasn't going to tell you you're hopeless. She was just going to talk about how amazing her Jesus was to her. And when you left that moment, you had an encounter with God that had the potential to change your life. Amen? And so I say today, Lord, let us be that. Let us begin again. If we're feeling worn out, Lord, we tap into your strength. Lord, if we're experiencing any of these other things, Lord, we come to you right now and we say, Lord, renew my faith. Renew my hope. Renew my life. Lord, I want to begin again fresh and new with you today. And so I unload all of this other garbage that I don't want to carry around with me. I leave it here today at your cross. And Lord, we move into a brand new, beautiful next with you, Lord. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.